Brian Noonan in for Nick D, 720 WGN here until 5. Then it is the opening bell. Steve Grzanich comes in. We're worried about some snow coming again this week, but they've been getting snow in places that are not really used to snow. Fred Weintraub, you know Fred. He's been on with me many times. He's been on with Nick many times. He is Chicago's Royal Connection. He is a broadcast executive here in Chicago and in Houston and in London. He splits his time between all three, and now he has just come back from the UK, and he joins us now on WGN. Hi, Fred. How are you?
I'm well. How are you, Brian?
I am dandy. Good to talk to you. You're back in the United States?
Just flew back into the United States, was in London, just as the blizzard hit.
Yeah, so it's crazy over there. I'm seeing pictures from my cousins in Ireland. Things are closed. Does London, do they not usually get snow? Is that why this is such a big deal, or was it the amount of snow that they got?
I think the answer is both. They usually don't get snow, especially in the city proper, and they don't get the amounts that they got. So as last week kind of revealed itself, you were hearing from the BBC that they would have alerts like we would have tornado alerts in Chicago. So they would go from amber alerts of yellow to alerts of red. And when it got to red, that's the most serious because that's when life could be lost. And so I would tell you that the issue isn't that they got so much snow in the central part of London. The issue was that the infrastructure is not set up for snow. So where in America, you would go out with your snowblowers and your shovel. The only problem in London is they don't have that. And can you imagine, 4 inches of snow in London doesn't seem like a lot, which in theory is not a lot.
Right.
But when you don't have any way to get rid of it, when you don't have salt, when you don't have the equipment to get rid of it, you literally see people on the high street who own stores, they're taking their brooms and they're taking cardboard and they're trying to shovel it into the street. So we would walk down main streets in London, just as if you were to walk down Michigan Avenue. And let's just say, for an example, the snow / blizzard hits at 10 o'clock in the morning. You would bet down Michigan Avenue that within 20 minutes that they would have people that would be taking the shovels, and they would be shoveling the snow as best they can to try to keep the walkway safe for people.
Right.
You can't do that in London because you have no snow shovels, so people are walking through this. The other issue is London / the UK, this little island, runs very effectively by rail. And so when all the trains or many of the trains are stopped, it has a severe economic impact on the city and on the countryside, because people who live in the outskirts of London, they can't get to London to do their jobs, where it became much more life-threatening in areas in the countryside where they would have 14 to 16 inches of snow. Uh-huh. You literally are blocked in, because the UK, with the few pieces of equipment that they have, they're not going to get to those
boats. Right, they're focusing on the city. What's the
It was probably good news for people who own pubs. It was great news for our kids who were not in school because they never see snow.
Right.
But it was a tough situation.
And is it done? Are they forecasting more? What's the situation now?
Right now it's done. The weather this morning is 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So now you're going to see the melting. Now you're going to see maybe some flood issues.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part they're done. And if you put it in perspective, so they talked about the beast from the east, all this weather coming in from Siberia. So it got down at night to 5 to 10 degrees. During the day it was 20 degrees, but the UK is not equipped for that kind of temperature. So it's not like Chicago, where O'Hare would have this cleared. And if this happened in the middle of the night in Chicago, that the Kennedy Expressway, even though it might be a tough morning rush,
it'll be clean.
Somewhat cleared by 7 a.m.
We see that. We see that in different regions of this country as well. There was just there was ice a few weeks ago down south in New Orleans and some other places. They don't have They don't have salt. They don't have trucks, and it shuts the whole city down. But for an entire country to be shut down, especially like you said with the rail system, that is that's not good. But thankfully that is over, and we can turn our attention to the big stories in the UK, which of course you know this, Fred, as the royal correspondent for the Jam, which people can watch mornings on WCIU TV. Not only one wedding. We know about Meghan and Harry. They're getting married on May 19th. That's going to be the big one. I know you are clamoring for one of these public invitations. But there's another wedding. Princess Eugenie, who is Prince Andrew's youngest daughter, she's getting married in the fall, too. Now, we don't hear too much about Eugenie and her sister. That's one of Sarah, the Duchess of York, former Duchess of York's daughters, correct?
Correct. So correct. It's Prince Andrew,
he's the still the royal.
Mom is the queen.
Right.
And Andrew and Fergie were married.
Correct.
And one of their daughters, Eugenie, is getting married.
No.
So that will not be as big a wedding, obviously, as Harry and Meghan. But what's interesting is it'll be at the same place. So they're getting married in Windsor, and I know you're coming to the UK.
Yes.
And Windsor is definitely one of the places that you want to go to because it's 25 miles, I believe, southwest of London. It's really the weekend home castle of the Queen.
Oh.
So there's a lot of family pride. There's a lot more informality at Windsor. That all being said, you won't see the same type of wedding that you saw with Catherine and Wills, because obviously he's heir to the throne. But you're going to see a big wedding. You're going to see a wedding that will take place at St. George's Church, which is at St. George's Chapel, which is on the grounds of Windsor Castle.
Right.
The only difference is where Westminster Abbey could hold 1,900 people, the church at Windsor can only hold 800. But I think they're being really smart as they're leaking out information about what's going to happen that Saturday in May. They're saying that they're going to invite, besides Brian Noonan and his wife, who are going to get tickets.
That would be phenomenal.
The second or the third row.
Well, listen, if you're not there, if you're not there, and no American is going to be there, you're the guy.
I assume we were just sitting together.
I would hope so.
For the wedding. I would hope so. I would hope so. Because so you're going to have 800 people inside the church, then you're going to have 2,600 people that are going to be invited from the public. And because Meghan and Harry are smart in what they want to do from a social standpoint and in helping their charities, some of these people are going to be coming, like 500 are going to be coming from the town of Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
There are two big schools in Windsor, like elementary schools. They're inviting like 100 kids from each of those schools. So even though you will not get an opportunity to go into the chapel, you will get an opportunity to walk into Windsor and into the grounds. And so you'll see them when they come into the chapel, and you'll see them when they leave. Then they're going to take a carriage ride around Windsor. And I would kind of describe Windsor as a cross between Lincolnshire and Longgrove. Kind
okay.
of a really nice town.
Yeah, I always thought Windsor Castle was just one building, but it's a little village kind of deal, right? The castle is in this village.
It's a beautiful town that has a main high street, but it's got parks, and it really is beautiful. And it's not surprising when on Sundays that people see the Queen going to church. Well, she's not walking to church on Sunday morning. They see
right.
her driving there. So it's kind of a mix of royal and suburbia all at once.
Cool.
So it'll be a big deal. So you'll have this service, which will take place at noon or 6 a.m. It'll take place at noon in London and noon in the UK and 6 a.m. here in Chicago. And then they'll have all these festivities. You can expect that it'll be formal. Not as formal as William's, but that Prince Harry will probably wear military attire. Then they'll go through all these afternoon festivities for the public. Then they'll go back inside to Windsor Castle, which I understand there'll be a reception in the afternoon / evening. Then at night, there'll be a private reception at Windsor, which Prince Charles, who's the father of Harry, he's going to throw that wedding. And you know that Harry is pretty You know, he's the party prince.
He likes the party.
He really has. He's settled down. He clearly is responsible. He's doing what he needs to do to become an active member of the royal family from a charity standpoint. You can expect that party to be a pretty blowout party.
That's the one we're not getting invited to, Fred, I don't think. I don't think we'll get that. I'm going to try to tell you, I'll talk to Chuck, see what we can do. We go way back. but Camilla and I have a history, so that might not work. Fred Weintraub is my guest. He is the royal correspondent for The Jam, which is seen mornings on WCIU-TV. Worldleaffellow.com is his website. You can check things out. Fred, can you hang on? I want to ask you a little bit about some gossip, because we brought up Eugenie before, and then we'll get into Meghan and Harry, and Meghan trying to mold her into a royal, where she's used to being an independent American. So we'll talk more about that in just a minute with Fred. We are getting an update on the UK, the royal weddings, and so much more with our guest Fred Weintraub. He is the royal correspondent for The Jam, mornings on WCIU-TV. You can also check out Fred's website, worldleaffellow.com. It is always fun talking to Fred. All right, I wanted to ask you this piece of gossip. Now, Eugenie is Fergie and Andrew's daughter. She's the youngest. What's her sister's name?
Beatrice.
All right. Now, rumor was that they were not nice to Kate when she came in, and they have not been nice to Meghan. Is that still true? Is there a lot of, I don't know why they were being so catty, but that was all the reports, that they were being very nasty.
When you say they've been very nasty, who are you referring to?
The girls, Eugenie and Beatrice, were being nasty to Meghan, and then there were reports they had been nasty to Kate, and now they were being nasty to Meghan.
I'd hit the buzzer and say all rumors. That's all rumors. Because I can tell you, Eugenie is very close to Prince Harry, and in some ways has kind of helped him introduce him to different girlfriends. So I think that.
Well, that was part of it. That was part of it, that they didn't like that her friend. That Harry was not dating her friend anymore. That was the rumors.
Yeah.
You know, I love gossip.
I think, first of all, the truthful answer is no one's going to ever know for sure, because it's all rumor. I think Eugenie is pretty close to Prince Harry. I think if there's any good rumors or anything to watch out from a family fight standpoint, what it'll be is there's definitely friction between Fergie, who's Andrew's wife, and Prince Philip, who is who's married to the Queen.
Sure.
Because basically, when Andrew got divorced, Fergie did some things that weren't particularly royal or particularly smart, and were not good PR things for the royal family. So he kind of barred her for being involved with any of those activities. And so for years, she hasn't been involved in anything royal. But when your daughter's getting married, it's kind of hard for the Queen's husband to say you're not going to be involved in the wedding. So there might be some juicy gossip. And I can't imagine anything public will come of it. But behind the scenes, there won't be any love lost there.
Now, Meghan is very outspoken. She's an actress, as we all know. She also has done a lot of humanitarian work. She's been outspoken about the Me Too movement. Harry's very supportive of her, said, you know, he loves her. He thinks she's great. Is there going to be any effort by the Queen or the rest of the family to try to mold her into something else, to take the personality that she has and try to jam that in a box that more fits what a quote unquote royal should be?
I think the phrase jamming it into the box is probably not how the royals would operate in 2018. I think what we're going to see is a Meghan Markle who's already said that she's giving up her acting career and going to do more of the charity work that has really also been part of her life.
Right.
What you saw this week was the first official function by four of the young royals. So you saw Meghan and Harry and Princess Catherine and William at an event together to participate in their Royal Foundation Forum. So this is the first time that really the four younger royals who will play a significant role in how the monarchy is shaped over the next 40 years, how they act in public. And what's interesting to see, and you'll see it more and more, is Meghan is very respectful but outspoken in the issues that she cares about. Kate is outspoken but much more reserved. Harry says what he wants to say because he's got the power behind him to do it. And William's going to be the king, so he clearly takes the lead. I think behind the scenes that you will see that Meghan will say what she wants to say, but she will be toned down in how she says some of those things. But that's all a process that apparently you learn. You don't, you know, just doesn't happen overnight. Unfortunately, right. And you and I have talked about this before, that's what caused the demise of Harry and William's mother, is that they threw her in the lion's den, and it created the media havoc and in many ways ruined her life. They will not let that happen to Meghan. She's met the Queen on three or four quick occasions. She's going to participate in a Commonwealth service on March 12th at the invitation of the Queen. She got invited to a Christmas lunch, which never happens until you're a member of the royal family. Uh-oh. So clearly, Queen Elizabeth has changed, is trying to make her more, feel more comfortable. And so I think we're seeing a different royalty developing. I think you're seeing a different royalty developing if it's going to survive into this century. I mean, the other story that we haven't talked about is we're a month away from Kate having another baby. And the only difference is it's rumored that Kate's going to have this baby at home because she does not want to create havoc at the hospital that gets created when you are royal and you have a baby at the hospital. I would speculate, not knowing for sure, that the medical facilities will be spectacular at Kensington Palace.
Oh, I can only imagine.
And you probably have nothing to worry about. But it just kind of shows that they're being sensitive that they don't want to shut down a hospital because they're having a baby. And as, you know, people who have more than one child know, everybody worries about the first baby, and you don't drop the pacifier, and if you do, you throw it out. And by the time you have the third baby, you drop the pacifier, you pick it up, you brush it off on your shirt, yeah, and you stick it in the kid's mouth.
Yeah, a little spit, and you clean it right off, and there you go. Everything's fine. Hey, explain to us, because you mentioned that the four young royals were together, and they were together to give a presentation and talk about the Royal Foundation, which is the charity organization that they spearhead. What does the Royal Foundation focus on?
So the Royal Foundation focuses on any number of charities that William, Kate, and Harry are participating in, which obviously creates and generates money for these charities. Some of them are conservation charities. Many are mental health charities. So they're a combination. They're like a wing of all these charities that come together and discuss what's going to happen in the future. So it's not like one specific charity, although they do have, you know, their own special charities, like Harry has the Invictus Games, and yes, and Kate just did, Kate does her own charity, so they all have their own special ones, but there's kind of like a wing together that forms a organization that hopefully together will be more powerful than the individual organizations.
Very nice. Well, listen, as May gets closer, we are going to definitely have to keep in touch, especially when you and I get our invitations. Now, we probably won't get in, but we need to get close so we can see them getting out and getting into their little carriage. So it's kind of like a Cinderella movie. So we'll have to work on the logistics of getting all this set up, Fred.
I'll work on it from my end.
Thank you, and I'll work on it from this end. And you can work on everything by checking out Fred's website, worldlyfellow.com, watching him on The Jam, mornings on WCIU-TV. It's always fun to talk to you, Fred. We will talk to you again very soon.
We will talk soon. Nice talking to you, Brian.
Thank you very much, my friend. We'll talk to you. All right, that's Fred Weintraub. You can check him out, worldlyfellow.com.